Welcome to The Word for Today. The Word for Today is a continuous study of the Bible taught by Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently teaching from the Old Testament. And for those of you following along in your Bibles, we'll be continuing today in Isaiah chapter 7, beginning with verse 1, as we continue with an in-depth message entitled, The Sign of Emmanuel, Part 1. Now with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
That Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, went up towards Jerusalem to war against it, but they could not prevail against it. Now, he was an extremely wicked, evil king, and his evil reign brought destruction to the nation of Judah. He was a godless man. And as the result of it, during his reign, the enemies began to prosper against Judah. Israel came against Judah, and in one day, they killed 120,000 of the frontline troops of Judah. They took away 200,000 hostages who were later returned as a result of the intervention of God. During his reign, the Edomites began to attack their cities in the south. During his reign, the Philistines began to take the coastal cities. It was a time of national deterioration and peril as the result of the sin that he committed. Sin is always destructive. That is the character and nature of sin. If you are living in sin, you can be sure that sin is destroying you. It is destroying you spiritually, it is destroying you emotionally, and it will ultimately destroy you physically because the effects and the result of sin are always destructive. The wages of sin is death, the final consequence of sin. But there is the spiritual death long before the physical death. For a person who lives in sin is dead unto God and the things of God. And that's eternal death. That is that separation from God. So it came to pass during the days of this very wicked king, King Ahaz, that an alliance was made between Syria and Israel, the northern kingdom. Reason, the king of Syria and Pekah. Now Pekah will be only called the son of Remaliah from now on. Why he didn't like to refer to Pekah, I don't know. But from now on, he doesn't even honor him by calling him by his name, but just says the son of Remaliah from this point on. And it was told the house of David. Now that is, the house of David is Judah, because David was of the tribe of Judah, and that's the southern kingdom. And so it was told the house of David, saying, Syria has confederated together with Ephraim. Ephraim, of course, was the major tribe of the northern kingdom. And so Judah, the major tribe of the southern kingdom, Ephraim, the major tribe of the northern kingdom. And so Syria have confederated together with Ephraim. And the heart of Judah, the people of Judah, was moved as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. The shaking of the hearts of the people, like the quaking aspens when the wind blows, the leaves are shaking. And so the people were trembling. They were frightened because Syria was a powerful nation. Ephraim was a powerful people. And they had confederated together to attack Judah. And then said the Lord to Isaiah, go now and meet Ahaz, you and Sheer Jezebel, Now, that was the name of one of his kids, and he really tacked some interesting names on them. Shear-Jezub, or Jazub, actually means a remnant shall return. Now, they were going to go into captivity, and that was basically the message that Isaiah was warning them of, their destruction and going into captivity, but a remnant would return from that captivity. In other words, God was not going to just forsake them utterly and forever. God would bring back a remnant. The nation will be kept alive. A remnant shall return. And so the name of his son was a constant witness of what was going to happen. And so take your son with you and meet the king at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. So this upper pool that supplied Jerusalem with water there at the highway, go and stand there and meet the king and say unto him, take heed. Now be quiet, that is an inner quietness, don't fear, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, that is for the Ephraim and Syria confederacy, don't be faint-hearted because of the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let's go up against Judah, let's vex it, let us make a breach therein, that is, let's tear down the walls of Jerusalem, and let's set a king in the middle of it, even the son of Tabeel. So what they were planning is to come down and to destroy the city of Jerusalem, to kill Ahaz, and to set up a vassal king upon the throne in Judah. But thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. So don't be afraid, don't be faint-hearted, because God is promising that it won't happen. Though they have plotted this, it's not going to happen. For the head of Syria is Damascus, that is the capital. The head of Damascus, or the ruler over Damascus, is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken and not even be a people. And of course, that was literally fulfilled. The Assyrians took the northern kingdom, Ephraim and the northern kingdom, carried them away captive, and they ceased to exist as a nation, never did rise again as a nation. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, that is the capital city of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you will not be established. Now here is the promise. God says, don't be afraid, they've plotted this against you, but it's not going to stand. Their plot is going to fail. But here is the condition. If you will not believe, you will not be established on the throne. Now, he was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned only for 16 years. He died at the age of 36. And so he was an evil king, and his reign was really cut short. Now, moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. So when Isaiah gave to him this message, don't be afraid, don't be faint-hearted, though they have conspired together and confederated together to attack you, their plot is not going to succeed. They won't be able to destroy you. And the king probably looked a little incredulous at this, and so Isaiah said, well, then ask the Lord for a sign. In other words, the questioning or the doubting whether or not Isaiah was really giving him the word of God. The questioning of this was actually God's promise that was being related to him by the prophet. And so Isaiah said, well, ask for a sign, either in the world around you or in the heaven above. Now, there are many times that God gave miraculous signs. Hezekiah, who is the son of Ahaz, and we'll come to him as we move along in Isaiah, he was dying, and the Lord promised to give him 15 more years of life. And as a sign of that promise, the Lord moved the sundial back so many degrees, so that the sun actually went back in the sky. Rather than setting, it sort of moved back a little bit before it set, just as a sign to him. And so a sign in the heavens above. So what kind of a sign do you want? You want the sun to stand still as in the days of Joshua? You want it to go back on the sundial? Ask for a sign. You want God to do something spectacular in the world around you? However, Ahaz was so wicked that he refused even to seek a sign from God. He really wasn't interested in the help of God. He was fearful that if he relied upon God for help and God delivered him, then he would be obligated to serve God. And his heart was so against the Lord that he would rather be destroyed than serve the Lord. It's difficult to conceive a person whose heart can be so bitter against God and the things of God, but he is not alone. I have met many people of the same ilk whose hearts are so against God that they're afraid to ask God to do anything for them lest they be obligated to God and feel an obligation to God. Now, you're obligated to God whether you like it or not. When Daniel was rebuking that wicked king Belshazzar, he said, the very God in whose hand your breath is, you have not glorified. Now, the lungs are one of those involuntary muscles of the body. It's not attached to the body skeleton, and it doesn't take a conscious thought to cause your lungs to work. You have voluntary and involuntary muscles in your body. Many of the muscles of your body are voluntary muscles. That is, they are controlled by the brain. Your brain sends a message for the muscles to contract and all, and you have those voluntary muscles. But you have involuntary muscles too. They're not attached to your skeleton, not controlled by a conscious effort of the brain. Your heart is an involuntary muscle. Your lungs are involuntary muscles. Those muscles upon which your life and survival depend, God keeps control of those. He doesn't put those in your feeble brain to control. He knows that you wouldn't last long if you had to think for your heart to beat, or if you had to think for your lungs to work. And so he keeps control. And that's basically what Daniel was saying to the king. The God in whose hand your very breath is, he's the one that controls the lungs, those involuntary muscles, to keep them working, to keep them, you know, like bellows working, to inhale the air and to exhale the air, to take in the oxygen and to exhale the carbon dioxide, to keep that fresh supply of oxygen for your blood that it can feed all of the cells of your body. Keep you going. The God in whose very hand your breath is. And so you're obligated to God whether you like to acknowledge it or not. You're obligated to God for every heartbeat, for every pant, as God controls those involuntary muscles of your body. And yet, he didn't want to feel that sense of obligation to God. And thus, he refused to ask for a sign. He said, I won't ask for a sign. Neither will I tempt the Lord. And so he said, all right. Isaiah responded to him, you won't ask for a sign, but tell you what, God's going to give you one anyhow, like it or not. Hear now, O house of David. That is, he was a descendant of David, sitting on the throne of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Here the king had a reputation of just being a bore to man. He troubled men. He brought problems on the people. But will you also weary God? You've defied the people. Are you going to defy God too? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, means God with us, Emmanuel. And so the sign that God was going to give, a remarkable sign, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, call his name Emmanuel. When Jesus was born of Mary, according to Matthew's account, Joseph, when he found out that she was pregnant, and they were in that period of engagement, waiting for the day of their wedding, and he found out that she was pregnant, and he knew that he was not responsible. And so he was greatly troubled. He loved Mary, but yet he felt totally betrayed by her. How could she do this? She said she loved me. And so, according to the Jewish law, for her to be pregnant out of wedlock meant stoning by the people. And so if he publicly would expose the fact that she was pregnant and say, hey, it wasn't me, and yet we were engaged to be married, she would have been stoned by the populace of Nazareth. He thought about that, but he couldn't bear the thought. His love was too deep. And so he thought about just sending her away, sending her to relatives someplace else. And while he was thinking on these things, the angel of the Lord came to him at night and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she's going to bear a son, and you're to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And Matthew said, now all of these things came to pass in order that the word of the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, which said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. So Matthew, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us that the birth of Jesus by the Virgin Mary was the fulfillment of this prophecy of Isaiah, the sign that God promised that he would give, the virgin conceiving and bringing a son. Now, the word Emmanuel means God with us. Why didn't then Mary and Joseph name him Emmanuel? Why is it that the angel told Mary, when he announced to her that she was going to have a son, Mary, you've been highly favored by the Lord. You're blessed above all women, for you're going to bear a son, and you're to call his name Jesus. And he's going to sit upon the throne of David, and God is going to give to him the throne of his fathers, and he shall be great unto the ends of the earth. And Mary said, how can this be? I've never had intimate physical relationship with a man. And the angel said, the power of God is going to come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you, so that that Holy One that is born of you will be called the Son of God. But his name was to be called Jesus. And the angel told Mary and Joseph both that his name was to be called Jesus. Now, the name Jesus is the Greek name for the Hebrew name Yahshua. And the Hebrew name Yahshua means Yahweh is salvation. So his name Yahshua signifies his mission. Emmanuel declares to us what he is. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God dwelling among men. So that is the reality of who Jesus is. God dwelling among men. But his name is Yahshua, which signifies the purpose of his coming to save the world from sin.
Face to face, Lord, let me know.
Pastor Chuck Smith will return with a few closing comments. But first, I'd like to remind you that today's message is available in its unedited form on cassette or CD. Simply write or call and ask for ordering details on tape or CD number C3245. Again, that's tape or CD number C3245. Well, it's that time of year again. It may seem innocent, but the symbols of Halloween, like black cats, jack-o'-lanterns, and trick-or-treat, all have roots in sorcery and Satanism. We would never knowingly get involved with anything related to Satan, but many Christians don't understand what's really behind the pagan holiday. The Word for Today would like to offer you a presentation hosted by Pastor Chuck Smith called Halloween, Trick or Treat, that traces the pagan origins and history of Halloween. This powerful movie uncovers the mystic rites and ceremonies of Satan and will forever change your opinion of Halloween. Every year, as the end of October approaches, we are faced with the dilemma of family and friends pressuring us to participate in the celebration of this pagan holiday. This documentary will definitely challenge you to decide whether or not you'll continue to participate in this tradition. If you'd like more information on Halloween, Trick or Treat, then simply write or call and ask one of our operators for the ordering details. Again, it's called Halloween, Trick or Treat. And right now, if you place an order, the Word for Today would like to bless you with Pastor Chuck Smith's pamphlet, How Can a Man Be Born Again? Absolutely free. Instead of just giving candy this year, the pamphlet is the perfect tool for Christians to share the gospel with loved ones and friends. Available in both English and Spanish. Again, it's free when you call right now. To order Halloween, Trick or Treat, for yourself or for a friend, you can call the Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD. Or write to us at P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Once again, that number to call is 1-800-272-9673. And for those of you that would like to visit our website, you can do so at www.twft.com. Or if you would like to email us, you can do so at info@twft.com. Well, coming up next time on The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck will be continuing his fascinating study through the book of Isaiah. That's coming up next time on The Word for Today. And now, with a few closing comments, here is Pastor Chuck.
Father, we thank you for your word, but we thank you for your promises that you've made for those who will live godly lives. And so, Father, help us. We can definitely see there are two categories here, those that followed and those who closed their ears to the truth. Did their own abominable practices defying your word. Lord, we want to be those that obey your word and follow after truth. Lead us, Lord, into your truth. Guide us by your Spirit. Lord, our hearts long, and we pray, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in this earth, Lord, even as it is in heaven.
This program is sponsored by The Word for Today, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.